Couple of years ago, we had Mike Spitz on the show. He put together a book celebrating Los Angeles record stores, and the main reason we talked to him back then is that he's from Cincinnati. Well, Mike is working on a new book, another collection. This time, it's local Queen City Records, record stores of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. Mike is here, and also Cassandra Lipp, who supplied the text through interviews. And Mike is a photographer with all kinds of great photos of stores around town. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
So, Mike, let me ask you, after the Los Angeles book, you could have gone for another bigger city, you know, New York, for instance, maybe foreign spot like London or Tokyo. Why Cincinnati?
Well, I think coming here was, for me, it was a little more accessible. We were talking about going to those bigger cities, but that involved a lot more time, a lot more money, and we also needed backing by the publisher to really do that. And I wanted to do this independently, so I decided to come here and focus on stores where I grew up. And I wanted to go somewhere where I had more of a nostalgic connection to the city and to the stores.
You supplied all the pictures, and Cassandra Lipp, you did the text through interviews. What did you find talking to all these people? I mean, you talked to owners of the stores and people who run them. What did you find? Were there any similarities in all these stores around town?
The biggest thing I discovered is that there's a legacy here in Cincinnati that not many people know about. That's what I liked about interviewing all the owners, is I found out more and more and just how important it is to be writing the book and preserving that legacy. So maybe 10 years from now, people can read about it and be like, oh, I never knew that was there. This has been here for that many years.
Okay, you talk to all these people. If you could have just a few words, how would you describe people who work in record stores? I mean, we have images. There's been movies like High Fidelity and stuff.
Well, they're not like that. One of the guys at Everybody said their store is the exact opposite of High Fidelity. I'd say record store owners have to be a little bit weird, like weird in a good way. Kind of like, I guess we have to be weird to be doing a book about record stores. They're people who are interested in preserving the past as well as getting new people interested in music. And the people who don't want to have like a super high salary, because there's not a lot of money in record stores. One of the record store owners did say there's not a huge paycheck involved in owning a record store. So people who care more about enjoying what they do rather than a huge paycheck.
Now, Mike, you've gone to all these stores in town and you've taken loads and loads of pictures. You're filling up some 200 plus pages of photos. I've been to these stores myself and I know there's very little in common. I mean, you've got some very nice-looking, spacious, organized places to sell records, and you've got other places that are, well, somewhat nightmarish. I mean, what did you see in these stores for photographs?
Well, of course, they're always different. They're always very different. I think they are extensions of the personalities of the owners often. I tend to like the real cluttered stores that look like an attic or a basement. Because, you know, visually they're more interesting than the stores that are really clean and neat and tidy. But now I would say the newer stores, the ones that have opened in the last few years, tend to be a little more hip. They tend to be a little more on the clean and tidy side, a little more modern looking. And then the older stores tend to be a little more cluttered. They tend to be a little more messy, a little more worn in. But that's, you know, that's just kind of the way it is.
Now, one thing I've noticed, too, in some record stores, you can really spot a big difference. Light. A lot of them have very little sunlight, and especially some of the newer places will have lots of sunlight. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, some are well lit and some are not, and that can be a real nightmare for me when I'm, you know, in the store trying to shoot, because it's very dark and I have to kind of stay near the windows. I don't use light. I don't come in with a crew. I don't use a flash. Flash is like the kiss of death when you're shooting at a record store, because most of the records are in plastic, or, you know, they have plastic sleeves on them and that just blasts back at you. So you can't really have a flash.
When you're taking these pictures, you go in there, what do you try to capture? I mean, you got records. What else is there to take a picture of? And how can you make it interesting showing records and CDs and piles of that?
I really try to look for what's unique about the store. So one of the stores that's going to be in the book has a really good old poster collection. Some stores have a lot of memorabilia in them. You know, Everybody's Records has this great set of Kiss dolls above the door. You know, nobody else has that. And then they have Kiss posters. They have a lot of stuff like that. And so, you know, I look for things that no other store has. Sugar Cube Records had these little, like, I don't know, they were like these little dolls in the window, and each doll was playing a guitar, playing the drums, you know, just things like that, that are music related, nostalgic, but really kind of set them apart from another store. I mean, they all have records and some have CDs. I tend to try to focus on the records because shooting records and tapes are more visually interesting. It's not that I don't like CDs, but they're just not so visually interesting. So you'll see in the book, there's not a lot of shots of stacks of CDs because it's just not that, you know, visually interesting.
Now, also in the book, there's more than just pictures. You talk about each of the stores, but also there's a section in there too about just the overall history of record stores here in Cincinnati. And Cassandra, those are the essays that you wrote. How did you go about researching all this stuff?
Well, first I went to the main library downtown in their local history department. There's two really knowledgeable guys there. One of them used to work in some record stores, so he told me a lot. And one of the library patrons who was there also was able to tell me about record stores that are around, like, from the 40s to the 60s that I wouldn't have found out about otherwise. A lot of the record store owners used to work at other record stores that aren't around anymore. So they were a big help. And Google was also a big help. With the Enquirer and old Cincinnati magazine archives, I can find the addresses to old record stores and short descriptions of them.
Also, you wrote a nice big chapter on not a record store, but a record studio, King Record, a big influence here in town for many, many years. What did you have to say about that?
Well, I read lots of books to find out more about King Records. And I also found out how little Cincinnati was doing to preserve its music heritage in comparison to other cities like Memphis. And I thought it was really sad, actually. Like, people see the James Brown mural downtown, but they might not know that he recorded in Cincinnati in a building that's now just dilapidated, basically. But I did find out they're making efforts to preserve the building, so that's exciting.
Let me put forth a little theory I've got here, because back in the old days, we had lots of big chains. There was Peaches and Record Theater, Camelot Music. We had Tower, HMV, and Virgin. These were like huge international chains, and they're all gone. And I noticed there was one thing in common with all these big record chains, that they made a big deal some years ago about not selling vinyl. They made a big promotion like, oh, we're going to get rid of all of our vinyl. We're not going to sell that anymore. Those stores are all gone, and the stores that were in existence then and still here, they all sell vinyl. So what do you think? Do you think it's vinyl that's making all this work these days?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, that's everybody's on the vinyl bandwagon now, and the record companies are pressing, you know, records again. But yeah, the stores are really pushing that, and the vinyl sales are, I think, outsold downloading in the last year or two. So yeah, all these stores are really very focused on selling records, and they're kind of pushing the CDs to the side. And some of these stores, like C&D Record Bar, I don't think they have any CDs. I think
they have some, just not a lot.
Yeah, they have a few, but they're mostly, you know, records only. So quite a few of these stores. And this was the same for the stores in Los Angeles. The majority of the stores really sold records only. Some had tapes, but they really, that's what they were pushing.
When you guys are putting this book together, there's just this explosion, I guess, a small explosion of new stores. I mean, it seems, you know, audacious. Here you are working on a book about Cincinnati record stores, and the number of the stores keep increasing, which means more work for you two.
Yeah, I thought we were done because I have to come back and shoot, and then I have to go, you know, I have to get on a plane and come here and take the pictures. So I thought we were done. And then Cassandra told me that, what, three or four new stores just opened. And so we want to be current. We don't want to put a book out that doesn't have the most current stores. So we're going to have those included in the book.
is there any kind of appeal for the greater population of the world, you know, everybody who's not in greater Cincinnati?
Well, that's debatable. I mean, you know, I'm a little cynical and, you know, I'm like, well, who in LA is going to care about record stores in Cincinnati unless they're from Cincinnati and they're transplants and they've, you know, they live there now. But I've mentioned that to people. Many people have said to me, you know, people don't really care what the city is. They just want to look at a book about record stores. They don't really care where it is. They're just interested in stores. So it could be anywhere. It could be any city. They're more interested in the stores, not the demographic, not the geographical location.
Some of the stores around Cincinnati, like Shake It, are actually pretty famous. Shake It was named by Rolling Stone as one of the top stores in the nation for buying records. So people might actually know about some of these stores across the country. So they might be interested in the book just through knowing about some of those few stores.
Also, yeah, that's true. If you look at Mojo Magazine, which is produced in the UK, they have a guide at the back of American record stores, and they go by state. In Ohio, the only stores in Ohio that are listed is Everybody's in Shake It. They don't even focus on Cleveland or Columbus, maybe one store in Dayton or something, but Everybody's in Shake It are the two biggest stores. So people, you know, this is an international magazine.
I would think that people who are big music buying fans would look at your book and say, hey, here's another place that I can go and maybe find some stuff that I can't find where I am.
Yeah, I think what's really good about this book is it focuses on a mid-sized city. It isn't just New York, Chicago, LA, you know, San Francisco. That lets people know, you know, people that aren't really, you know, record collectors or really in the know about that. It informs people that, hey, there's other cities that have a really good independent music scene. They have independent record stores and it's thriving and, you know, there's a resurgence and it's growing. I think that's really good for people to see that.
So barring any other explosions of new stores, when can we expect to see the book out?
Well, we're hoping that it will be done around mid-October, and we already have a book signing arranged. We don't have the date set, but Everybody's Records is going to do our first book signing, and that'll be hopefully, I would say, end of October, sometime in November, but close to the holidays.
Okay, we're looking forward to that. We've been speaking with Mike Spitz, who is the photographer of Queen City Records, record stores of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky, and Cassandra Lipp, who did the text with interviews and essays about people who work in the record stores and the history of Cincinnati record stores, including King Records. Thank you both for being with us, and we're looking forward to the book.
Thank you.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.
I pull up around my head. The country's home in the dirty season. Left but to dream.